You're about to just get the high grade guy with the mic recorded.
Oh, I remember.
Man, you guys must have a lighter. What do you mean?
Yeah, I remember I was living, because like when I was growing up, I was like living in this suburb. And when we just moved into the neighborhood, these random white kids just came into our door and were like, "Do you guys have weed?" And my dad was like, "Get the fuck off my property.
Like, go now." Yeah, exactly. Like, leave. Just leave now.
Like, so so disrespectful.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Especially at parties here. Like, you be out raving it, like, going in. And you be like, "Go in here." No.
So weird, man. Holy shit. What? Anyways, that's a different discussion.
Mm, yeah, for sure. I need so much memory on the SD card.
Weird. Man. All right. Okay, it's a new currency recording. Recording from somewhere in North Greenwich. That's how you pronounce it.
Well, yeah, we're in Greenwich Park.
Okay, Greenwich Park. Yeah. Okay, weird. Introduce yourself, Control.
I'm Control, or I go by CKTRL. From London, by the way of Jamaica and Montserrat. Shout out.
So, all right. So, the first question I always like start with is, actually, what do you do?
Me, I'm a musician first and foremost. I play instruments. I produce. Started singing the other day. Yeah, write songs.
Songs, word. Mm. All right. So, looking back, like when you were growing up, did you think that you'd be here, like doing music, and like?
I knew from like, so like I got a hi-fi early on. My dad got me a little hi-fi, and like the first CDs I got was, yeah, it was Bob Marley's Survival. And Michael Jackson's Dangerous.
Okay.
And then just like obviously totally different sonics.
Yeah.
You know, the two albums. But just from listening to those, I knew I wanted to like make sounds or do something where I could kind of like not necessarily recreate the same sounds or music, but just the feeling from what I got from the music. I wanted to always like be able to make my own.
Yeah. And it, was it like, did you... When you knew that, when you had that feeling, did you were like, okay, I'm gonna go to school for this, or is it? We're like, oh, I could self teach myself.
I suppose I didn't really think about it like that formal.
Okay.
Like that from that early on, because that was quite early. Like,
yeah.
So when I was like primary school, I thought, you know what? They had like they introduced like the music instruments that you could learn if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So like they came, they did like flute, oboe. Heard the teacher like kind of show it off in assembly. I was like, nah, these ones are dead.
Yeah,
that's not gonna work. And then like I heard the clarinet and I was like,
yeah,
that way, like that could work.
Okay.
And then yeah, started the lessons and then did that for a couple of years. Never stopped like obviously like learning it, but then I took up the saxophone as well.
Yeah,
after. And then yeah, just after that it was like calm, always just kind of did it, but that was like playing other people's music.
Yeah, you know, okay.
Like written, so with the clarinet it's like classical stuff, obviously saxophones, jazz and other things you'd learn. We just do like an improvisation class,
yeah,
as well. And then yeah, after all of that,
speak louder into your mic.
Yeah, after all of that, okay, I got into, yeah, I started secondary school.
Yeah.
And then there they had like music production, like a studio that you could go to like after school. So yeah. I just went to like an after school club to learn like how to make beats, how to record instruments as properly as well.
Okay.
So I learned that all pretty much there at some after school club.
Yeah.
And then yeah, that kind of lost funding. But then by that time I had learned everything I needed to.
Huh.
In terms of like just how to do the basics basically.
Yeah.
And then yeah, got equipment myself. And just went from there. Yeah.
Did you go to uni at all?
No, I didn't go to university.
Okay.
Yeah, I literally finished college and started working. Been working ever since.
Okay.
Yeah. Trying to leave. I was telling you on the way. Yeah, I'm trying to leave my job now.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully, yeah, in the next month, I'll be free.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start, like, music formally? Like, they're like, okay. Because, like, obviously, you have the high school,
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I suppose I'd say, like, let's think. Probably like 18 when I was like, I could see what a career would look like. Before that, I was MCing. So okay. I was spitting myself. So yeah. I had like bare mixtapes and stuff. But like, I didn't. Luckily, nothing's online now, otherwise, that'd be slipping. But yeah, having. What am I saying? Yeah, basically, yeah, just. I used to MC. And then I just naturally just got. I was producing alongside doing that the whole time, just from year seven, just messing around. But I never thought about like spitting on one of my tunes until later on, when that just like naturally came together. But then as I started doing it, making more beats that I thought sounded like something, I kind of moved away from it.
Yeah.
And also at the time, there was a lot going on in the end, so it was like, didn't really want to be around it. So where I kind of moved away, like going, I suppose the best way to explain it is, I suppose, to talk about gentrification.
Yeah.
In London. So like, obviously overall people would obviously say that gentrification is a bad thing and you look at it as whatever, but it's good until it's happening to your area.
Got you.
So it's like, it's not like, so where I'd go like Hackney and Dalston in East London.
Yeah.
And I'm from Lewisham, so that's like the other side of London and that.
Yeah.
But it was a vibe over there because it was like something different, and then that enabled us to like just like put the beats back at the forefront.
Okay.
So like things like what stemmed out of that, like NTS, Boiler Room, like arty shit happened as a result of gentrification over there.
Mm. So wait, you're saying these platforms like NTS, Boiler Room and stuff happened because of gentrification?
I'm not saying I'm saying like in the areas where say art people were able to move somewhere to have like cheap rents.
Yeah.
To do stuff. Like
okay.
I'd say gentrification is like the last stage. But I'm saying when it kind of leads to it, when it's art driven instead of like rich people driven.
Yeah.
So like for example in Lewisham where they started doing gentrification, all they did was knock down estates.
Yeah.
And then build like nice flats
for
to move into.
Yeah.
Whereas like before that happened in East, it was like there was lots of arty shit going on.
Mm.
And then they thought, oh shit, it's trendy over here now.
Word.
So then it's like, okay.
That's the way it is in Toronto too. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now we can move in. So that's what kind of happened. I'm not saying those things happened as a result of gentrification.
Yeah.
To just be clear. But it was just like, because of that freedom that they had over there, that wasn't happening back in the ends, like I had friends that were just like getting stabbed up at the time. There was loads of different beef happening. So like when it came to like the production, I saw like when I got like my show on NTS, it was a way for me to be like, okay, cool, I'm gonna go over here still, and then you know what I mean, like try and pursue music, and I can see this world that I didn't see before because I'm like I wasn't able to just from what was happening around me. Yeah. So what was cool in that sense was like it was just something that was just totally new. So that kind of allowed me to explore and see a career from the beats that I was making.
Got you.
Whereas like on the ends, like you probably think you need to find someone to spit on the beats you're making and then go through like, I don't know, like a Grime Daily kind of a channel or Channel U that we had at the time or whatever to kind of like pattern away to see some kind of career as a producer.
Yeah.
You know, or you'd have to spit on the tune yourself and do like a little hood video.
Yeah.
You get me? Get a couple of your friends and that, couple rental cars.
Yeah.
You know, a couple gyal and it make it look like something. But other than that, that was the only way until I saw the other side when I was like, rah, like, you know, white people will pay me to DJ all over the world playing stuff I make in my room because they think it's cool.
Mm.
Like, but again, it's like, I think the kind of the way the journey's gone till now, it's been good for me to see everything and not necessarily like garner like any kind of like success as of yet. Like it's definitely everything I'm doing right now is definitely still building and still maturing. But because of my experiences, I'm able to kind of navigate the way that I want to rather than just going by like what opportunities will come my way now. Now I'm be able to make more of like an informed decision just from seeing what it is, because if you want to go down that way, like you can, like you know what I mean, it's up to you, but it's like it's about whatever your purpose is and what you're trying to say.
I think interesting. That's so what are you trying to say?
Well, for me, you know, being from London, having like, you know, parents from the Caribbean as well, it's like it's just about that expression.
Okay.
Like being able to And yeah, just as a black boy and as a black person, it's just about being as expressive as possible.
Yeah.
And showing that, like, there's not one way to be.
Mm.
There's many ways to be, like, we're multifaceted as a people. Mm. Like, so just being able to explore that and be cool with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think one thing I remember from, like, growing up, like, in Lewisham as well, is, like, obviously people respected people that, like, you know, was on the bad boy thing and doing whatever, but, like, people always respected, like, if you was yourself, like, honest, 100%. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, that's what I want for everyone. If you can just be yourself 100% of the time, then you're nice. It's like, and that comes through in your music as well. Like, just, like, eliminating any kind of vagueness. Like, I never want to be vague in my music or with anything that I do. I just want to be clear, like, clarity. And I think that that's what I hoped, like, that comes through.
Yeah.
That kind of honesty. Because, like, if you're not, if it's not coming from, like, a place of truth, then, like, you're just trying to jump on something or ride some kind of hype. There's, like, there's not, I don't feel like there's much longevity to that.
Yeah. And I think that's, and I think, I think that's the reason why, like, even somebody like me from Toronto would see, would, like, hop on your stuff and be like, oh shit, like, this is interesting because it's different, right? And, like, to know, like, a black person is doing this, because when you think, I mean, in the mainstream of, like, what blackness is defined as, it's supposed to be, like, this, you know? Yeah,
so many boxes.
Like. Exactly, right? But I think what you're trying to, what you're proposing, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like, there is a, there, blackness is multifaceted and it comes in different forms.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And, like, just about, and not even necessarily just presenting the idea, it's more of, like, reminding people.
Got you. Yeah.
Because, like, even, like, us as a people, because, like, we forget.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everything that we see or we think is cool or amazing, like, we did that.
Word.
So it's like,
for sure,
just remember.
Yeah.
And then you're good. Like, when you think about, you know, whatever it could be, like, you know, or any kind of sacrifices that people have made for us.
Yeah.
To even, like, be having this conversation here now. Even just our parents in their lives for us to be sitting here now, being able to do, you know, half the things we can do. You know what I mean? That's all part of our ancestry and our history. So, you know, with that running through, like, you know, anything's possible. Like, and we've probably done it already. You just don't remember.
Yeah.
Because it's set up in a way that, you know, most stuff in history, you either heard it from friends or, you know, you went and researched it yourself.
Yeah.
Or you stumbled across something online. Someone posted something and you looked into it.
Yeah.
But you didn't get taught that at school, obvs.
Yeah.
But there's reasons, isn't it? Like, they don't want you to know. But
yeah.
I know.
Very true. So
everyone else just needs to jump on the wave.
But how did you get into this frame of thinking? Like, was this was it growing up or?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Like I said, like, dad's Jamaican, so you know, reggae was, like, roots and culture. Revival music was very much a part of, like, me growing up. Like, heard, like, all of it. My uncle's got all, like, the original Studio One and whatever. So all of the messages, like, in the music and stuff was just about that. You know, just, like, about knowing yourself, you know, loving yourself, and remembering the basics. Of the basics of our history and just roots. So just starting from there and then just researching more as I went.
Okay. So also your sound is, like, super particular, even with your DJing and your mixing and even the tracks itself. Is this something, like, how did you get to that? Or are you at the pinnacle of, like, where your sound is, or are you still pushing it? But how did you even start to sort of, like, get into the colors of, like, what that sounds like? Because it's super specific, in my opinion.
Okay. That's a good question still. Like, my main thing is always, like, well, in terms of, I see music with purpose as well. So, like, when I'm making stuff, sometimes, like, especially, like, if we're just talking about instrumentals specifically, you mentioned mixing as well, like, when I'm DJing and stuff, it's like, that's purpose.
Okay.
So it's like built for purpose. Like, when I'm making a beat for that kind of setting, like a club or something, then I'm thinking about, like, a specific kind of space and, like, all the stuff I've gone out and when I wanted something to happen and it didn't. So that's what I try and do in that space.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's the best way to kind of describe the sound in terms of, like, as I just spoke about, like, roots music.
Yeah.
That's a big influence in terms of the space that I like to create in the frequencies. Like, there'll be stuff going up high and then there'll be stuff low, but in between there's, like, maybe like a pad or not very much happening there.
Yeah.
Or if there is, it's very specific. It's like one specific sound.
Yeah.
Not too many. It's not. It's never like that busy or that cluttered, because that's just not like my style or anything. And yeah, I suppose.
So when you had the club mm-hmm. records that you made, like, you were thinking of specific space then.
Yeah.
How you want, like, that to be.
Yeah, with that in mind, like, yeah, always. So it's like a specific, like, function of it. You know, like, I like to be like, to say, for example, like, I brought out, like, Playlist One, which is, like, the first release from my label, Souls for Girls. So with that, it's like, those are essentially R&B songs.
Yeah.
But the way, like, everyone knows, obviously, what typical R&B is like right now in 2018.
Yeah, 100.
So, like, I had to do it my way.
Mm.
So it's like, it's something that's not too alien. So you're recognizing here it is R&B, but the way the beats are built, like, that's not necessarily conventional of like what R&B people producers would be doing now or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, like, the way the vocals are mixed, they're a lot lower in the mix than R&B songs will have the vocals a lot louder.
Yes.
Because, like, the way I was trying to present the music is that you have to come into it.
Hmm.
Whereas, like, a lot of people, whether it's for, like, radio purposes or whatever, they mix their songs a certain way. So, like, the vocals will be a lot louder.
Yeah.
In the mix.
Yeah.
You know, because it's more about, like, that's why people, like, get obsessed with singers or that person's voice or whatever, rather than, like, I suppose the best example of someone that used to kind of mix like that or did is, like, D'Angelo. Like, it's not always audible.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, the vocal. Yeah. But it doesn't need to be. Very, it's about true. The feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then because you're listening and you know it anyway, you learn the words, like, anyway. Because it's dope. You know? But the vocal's not super loud in the mix.
Mm.
Doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like, Frank does that. Frank Ocean does that on records as well. And it's just, like, being willing to be that different as well, like, and just, like, what, like I was saying earlier about being honest, I think it's, like, what sounds good to you, not necessarily what sounds good to everybody else. Because I think what happens at the moment is that, especially in London anyway, is, like, there's loads of trends.
Yeah.
So it's, like, oh, that sounds good to everyone. It's, like, cool, I'm going to make that tune. I'm going to make that type of tune.
Yeah.
Whereas me, it's, like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool, but what I might do is, like, maybe make something at that tempo.
Mm.
But I don't necessarily need to make that tune.
But
like, you know, if you're mixing, you might still get the same vibe because it's a similar tempo, but it's definitely a different
tune.
Exactly.
That's
like my kind of thing.
But one thing about honesty though is, like, sometimes, like, it could be argued that somebody could say honesty is not always commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously you gotta eat and make money. Right, but when you think about, like, somebody like Frank Ocean, his honesty, I guess, like, is got him to where he is.
I also think a lot of the times though is that there's so much things. I think because of my journey so far till now, like I said, I haven't really, like, gone in any kind of crazy success, but I've been able to see what I would like and what I definitely wouldn't.
Yeah.
So it's like. And just from seeing that perspective and knowing what happens, like, of the inner workings, like, behind the industry and the scenes and different things, it's like, you know, you can see why things were able to happen and weren't.
Got you. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, with a lot of things now anyway, hype helps.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Hype helps. But if you're like, if you get hype and you're actually talented, then there's longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when you can see someone like Frank.
Yeah.
And also it's like, people forget the power of, like, collective gain when they think about Frank Ocean.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, you know, Odd Future, Tyler, like, without all of that, you know, that's a great example of teamwork.
Hmm.
So it's like, from that, obviously, you got Tyler, you got Frank, you know, both two different individuals, but make amazing music, do their thing. And now you've got the internet doing their thing.
Yeah.
All from the same
collective
camp.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can come up like that, but most people don't think that they can, and it's always me, I.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, you know, institutions, record labels, organizations come in and then they can sway people to do X, Y, Z, because you think, yeah, I've got to eat. The people use that as an example, like, not necessarily an excuse.
Yeah.
But as artists, that's what you, if that's what you have, and that's what, you know, whatever your circumstances are,
yeah,
you know, it can dictate otherwise. But, you know, if you want to, like, be the master of your ship, you can be.
Yeah.
Just got to be willing.
Yeah. So, are you in any collective or anything?
Yeah. I've got my label.
Okay.
Songs for Girls, which is obviously founded by myself. It's A&R'd by my friend Camille. She does all the A&R stuff. So
are you going to have other artists under it too as well?
Yeah, I've got a few. Okay. So from the obviously first release, we've got L.
Okay, yeah.
E-L-L-E.
Yeah.
Check out her music. Winter, so another artist. Mana. Yeah, a few really talented women.
What
yeah.
goes into starting a label?
Well,
like, what's the process like?
I suppose it's a lot of admin. Like, you gotta be willing to, like, get busy with the filing, and I suppose for me it's still very early days, so it's like getting, like, the release schedule together, figuring out, like, campaign strategies of how to put stuff out.
Yeah,
you know, essentially you're in charge of, like, other people's music.
Mm.
I suppose to start with, to make it easy for myself, because I'm producing everything, I'm still involved with the music, so it's like,
yeah,
although it's their music, it's mine at the same time. So yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
because then, like, I think when it's
it.
Yeah, you care about it, and then when there's other people, they can't, like, no one can turn around to you and be like, oh, you're not doing enough for me. It's like, well, I'm involved.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm fully, like, you know, doing it as well and trying to make it work. So I think that makes it easier, and it's nice to have, like, a team.
Do you need, like, a specific, like, mm-hmm, amount of capital to start?
Depends what you're trying to do.
Okay.
And, like, it's always about strategy. Like, for me, like, the first thing was, like, no PR.
Okay.
You know?
And that's cool.
Because I was just like, number one, the PR guys that I used to use in the past, they want some long thing. Like, one of the guys left. Like, it was two guys. And I think there was, like, three of them in the company. But the other, like, you know, publicist had been headhunted by somebody else.
Mm.
So he was swamped with all these other artists backdated, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then I hit up the guy that had been headhunted. He's like, yeah, I do freelance still. I'm like, all right, cool. And he was like, yeah, send me an email. And I was like, nah. Because, like, I think where, like I was saying to you about, to kind of tie it back to about industry stuff and stuff that
yeah.
goes on behind the scenes, it's like, actual labels and organizations are great at writing artist bios.
Yeah.
And great at writing up about someone and what it's about.
Yeah.
So then when it's sent out to, say, Spotify.
Yeah.
Or Apple Music or these reps, obviously they've all got personal relationships with them anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a great bio, so they know exactly what this artist is about. So
gotcha.
They're able to champion that person.
Yeah.
And put them in the right playlist from the jump.
Yeah.
So because of that stuff, people are able to flourish. So, like, if you're good at English and you can, like, write a sick bio and you know your writing skills are amazing, then that's definitely going to help your music career.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because,
like, if you do, you know, find yourself looking for PR and you can write a banging email about what you're doing and everything and explain it all really well and it sounds amazing, then he can run with that and sell it to the world. Like, you know, but I'm not, you know, that great at writing up things like talking about myself or selling something. Mm. So I haven't emailed him yet. Put it that way. And, like, I will get there, but then it'll be easier by the time I'm ready to do that, because I would have done a few things and then he'll kind of get it as well. So it helps.
Yeah.
Or I'll be able to just meet him because I'm doing better. So
yeah.
I just want to meet up and then I can just tell him about it and he can type it up
and
figure it out, because I just haven't got those skills.
Yeah.
You know? And that's literally it when it comes to that side of things.
Do you like the Spotify playlist and all that stuff? Like the digital era of music?
I don't know if I like or dislike, to be honest. I'm not sure. Because it's still alien to me. Just like, I don't, it's not obvious, but I don't listen to music like that.
Okay.
So
how do you listen to music?
Well, I've always, like, bought records or friends' recommendations or... At the moment, it's just making it myself. I'm listening to friends' music.
Got you.
And, like, stuff that I've been, you know, producing. So
yeah, I don't listen to playlists myself. Yeah.
So the way it kind of comes in, I feel like it works and it does make life easier. But then I'm like, I don't know if it's to the detriment of artists at the same time. Because it's like, For example, if I'm an artist and I make a body of work, I would like someone to listen to my body of work.
Yeah.
You know? And like, even if I heard a song from a body of work, I want to check the body of work because like, that's a piece of like a bigger puzzle.
Yeah.
That I might be missing. But I think with playlists, people aren't even like, they find a good playlist and they're not even listening or checking for the artist. They're just like, I like this playlist. It's good music in it. It's cool. And that's a lot of people, yeah. And that's calm. But then it's like, people aren't getting into you necessarily.
I wonder, I feel like there, because obviously you have, mm-hmm. I mean, I was hanging out with my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I have a family that lives out here too.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, what music are you listening to? And she's like, yeah, whatever that's on the radio or the playlist on Spotify. I was like, really?
That's a lot of people say that.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm no knock to you. Like, obviously you consume music that way, but I consume music. I'm in SoundCloud. I'm everywhere. Like, I'm Shazamming everywhere. I'm going to a specific DJ night to find records, right?
Yeah.
Probably go to Fonica tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, but, yeah. But, I wonder if there needs to be a specific platform for like passionate music listeners like us.
I don't know. I don't know if it would work because like, again, the whole point of apps is just to make life easier.
Mm.
So I feel like the people, that's why again, where like, you know, say major labels win in a sense, is because obviously they're going to get the radio play, they're going to get in the playlist,
yeah,
but then they're also going to get visuals that people are going to see. So like, say someone like your cousin,
yeah,
the people that get do successful on the playlist that she listens to,
yeah,
she'll probably see their video,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Whereas like independence now, you probably ain't gonna see that video. Like, I've got songs that I've done good on Spotify and then like the video's got like 500 plays like on YouTube because they just people aren't correlating it, or they're just listening from another place. So it's like there's so much things like behind the scenes that kind of happen that I feel like, you know, you kind of have to, if you're deciding to be independent or go down that route where you want to, you know, own your masters and like, you know, own your music, then you kind of just have to work with, you know, your core, kind of like you, whoever like your little cult is that you seem to cultivate.
Gotcha.
Just keep working with that and that will grow.
Mm.
And that's it.
And that's what you're doing right now?
Well, yeah. Well, not yet. That's what I'm hoping to do because of the situations at the moment. And like a lot of the things that I'm saying in this interview now, I've only like come into that way of thinking like in the last 2 months.
Okay.
So it's like, it's all very new. I've got loads of ideas about how I want to go forward and push.
But what did you say you're gaining notoriety right now though?
I don't know. Like, when you told me about that tune in the car, if you never said that, I'd have no idea. Like,
really?
I don't know.
Bro, like, everywhere Fashion Week, I heard that tune.
That's mad. That's so wild to me, because, like, I just feel like no one's listening more. So I'm like, okay, cool, I'm going to try this next project and see what happens and do this. But it's like, I feel, obviously, just consistency, bringing out more tunes, mostly more beats as well and things like that. Because especially with the instrumentals, like, because those scenes we were talking about as well, like in terms of like dance music, like parties and things aren't really happening. It's like, I don't really know what's popping. And I don't, growing up now, I don't listen to radio like I used to. Mm. So like DJs that might be playing that music now, I don't even know the who it is. To send, like even just to send beats to play, to get like, to be a big beat or whatever, I wouldn't know where to start. Whereas with the songs, it's like, you know, obviously you want certain radio shows to be playing the songs for people to get to know it, but like those ones don't necessarily play like instrumentals. It's like a different thing, so it's interesting to hear that like that's actually popping, because like you just, I just don't know. But now I do, I'm gonna be putting out others bear, like there's, because that's another thing with me, like I have so much music and it's just like, how do you put it out?
Jeez.
It's like making, so what I've done is like made a schedule for like the label stuff, but now you're talking about this instrumental stuff, I'm thinking, well there's all these beats, like might as well
put compilation together. I think we need it.
Say no more. I didn't know. Who knew? So for sure, like there'll be more of that. And I was thinking, obviously with doing events and more nights, then I'll be able to present that music as well.
Speaking of nightlife, I know we're talking about like, like on our way here, talking about how like London nightlife, in terms of like trying to discover new shit, has kind of like faded, right? So, what is your solution for that?
But it's like, you know what? I think maybe Faded was a bit too strong. I feel like I feel like the demographic has changed.
Okay.
So there's definitely still nights where people are playing like new bass music, and even like dubstep, as I've heard on the Grapevine, has kind of come back around again as well. And it's like, that's all cool, but if you're gonna be DJing there, then it's just gonna be like white guys, isn't it? Like just playing to like white boys that think it's like, oh yeah, that beat is sick, or the bass line on that's cold, and like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
It's not even really, I don't want to do that. Like, it's not, you know, it's not the pattern for me. You know, obviously I'm like, I want people to listen to my music, but like primarily, like, you know, it's definitely for the people what I'm trying to do. I'm happy for everyone to listen. You can secondary listen, that's a thing, you know. But yeah, ultimately that's what it's for, because like I think about like grime, for example, is like the first thing in memory that I can think of that kind of related to me directly, because I was like, you know, growing up around the time certain things were happening the first time around. And it's like, Wiley was able to create something that all of his friends got into.
Yeah.
So just by him making beats at home, he started a whole scene, a rave.
Crazy.
And like,
crazy.
Everyone was there, all the men were there, like, girls, like, just, like, if you watch the old videos online, it's mad. And it's like, rah, that man just made some beats.
So
and
you
this is what's happened.
Do you want to recreate something like that?
It's not even just like, even, I think recreate is the wrong word, but like, if anything I want to recreate is that energy.
That energy, yeah.
Just to be able to be, to garner something that, you know, but I feel like, because of the internet, that's changed, for sure. Like, that's what's changed the landscape. That's what's kind of make it like some like open market to all and sundry and all kinds of people. Whereas before, you know, locally, I don't know, but I think obviously with small, like I said about doing small events,
yeah,
I think that's like going to be the way forward for me, like small events.
Yeah, small events, yeah.
Just playing what I want to present, and then seeing how that grows.
How do you sort of like take that out of London and take it worldwide?
I suppose with the internet, that's where that comes in.
Okay.
Because it's like, everyone knows when something, there's an energy around something. I don't want to say the word hype, because hype has like short-termism to it, to me.
Yeah.
But so I use energy instead for now. But you can always feel the light when something's got energy around it, whether you know about it or not. You can feel like, oh, because like, you know, when you discover something, you're like, but you see other people and you're like, oh, how have I missed this?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of that. I think that comes from that small group.
Yeah.
That just kind of expands, because you're just, you're giving them. And then they'll tell someone else, like, yo, there's this thing.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. Yeah. And people just kind of get into it, and it grows from that. That's like the idea.
Yeah. Do you still have your show on NTS?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been taking that as seriously as I should.
Okay. How did you get on there?
I get on NTS.
Is it easy to like get on? Because from the outdoor, I mean, from like my vantage point, it seems like NTS is popping, right? It's like popping.
Yeah, yeah. Right? They've got it there now.
And
yeah.
Boiler Room, I don't know Boiler Room. Like, I don't know what the situation with Boiler Room is in London. Like, with the conversations I've had, people are like, Boiler Room is not popping anymore. I don't know if that's true.
Well, yeah, it is. It's like, the real talk of it all is that, like, Boiler Room used to be really fun. Like, every week, like, it used to be like a thing. Like, you know, you'd go every week, you know, there'll be different artists, they'll get down, there'll be DJs, it'll be sick. Like, it was a vibe. But then I think once they lost, they had like a space. Like, by one point, they got to be where it was like a regular spot.
Okay.
And then it was always a vibe. But then once that spot kind of went, and then like, the programming just kind of went, I wouldn't say it went left, like that's probably not fair.
Did it get too commercial?
No, I wouldn't say that either. I feel like, yeah, they did take a lot more brand stuff, but that was always like abroad.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily like in London, which I get, cool, you gotta expand. But yeah, I just feel like the London ones just weren't it anymore. But then that was all a part of, I think that was part of the wider change anyway, like I'm saying, in terms of nights.
Yeah.
Like a lot of clubs were closing down anyway, like the time of it all just wasn't right.
Yeah.
Anyway. And with NTS, I got on there from, where did Tristan? one of the founders.
Oh yeah, Tristan
of Boiler Room. He's like one of the founders. He plays. He's like
yeah. I saw him DJ. Yeah, I saw him. He has this worldwide.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw him DJ in Paris last season.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, yeah, cool. Tristan, used to work at a record shop.
Okay.
Called Sounds of the Universe in Soho. So okay. It's like around the corner from Fonica, not
okay.
Far. And I used to work at a record shop at the time called Uptown Records.
Okay.
And like to play people music around there, obviously there was no CDs in it, you had to have vinyl. So I was like cutting dub plates at the time.
Hmm.
So I had a few with me. And I just went around playing them to people just to see what the vibe was like, yeah. You know. And then I played them to him and told him what I was doing and how I wanted to get a shot at NTS because I knew that he knew, obviously, the people them to make that happen. Yeah. Like, and then, yeah, through him, I met Femi. And then, yeah, I started on the show the next week.
Hmm.
But that was really early on. That was, like, at the beginning. I've been on NTS, like, from the jump.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why they let me have, like, the free reign that I do.
Yeah.
A lot of people take their shows way more seriously than I do. But, like, I did start with the intention this year. But, yeah, it kind of fell off. But I'm going to get back on that.
How do you curate your show? Like, do you plan it or you just kind of, like, go in with your USB?
Kind of wing it.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, I know... I suppose, like I was saying to you earlier, in terms of like not knowing like who's listening, because I don't really have that kind of like back and forth relationship with people that listen. You know, sometimes they've got people got regular listeners or regular fans that come to their nights, yeah. And they know of this and that person. I don't really know who that is. Okay. So like when it comes to listening to the show, I don't really know who listens.
Got you.
So like it's always just been like kind of open, because of the different music that I make. If I want to come in and do a mix one day, then I'll do that. If not, then I'm just going to play like the slowest, most beautiful things that I can find.
Mm.
And it might even be like, you know, just like clarinet and piano or something. So that's like the spectrum of sound that it can kind of go from. So, yeah, all kinds of things can happen. So like, it's quite open. But now I've tried to make it. I changed the show to being named after the label. So it's called Songs for Girls as well.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just playing like releases. You know, forthcoming stuff that's already out.
Yeah.
You know, unreleased material from the artists as well. And then, yeah, just other friends' music and stuff that I like.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's literally it. Because I suppose the main thing about NTS anyway, like the ethos is like, it's just not to assume.
Mm.
So you kind of check in for the host taste.
Yeah.
More than anything else, rather than the genre. I think that's where...
It's funny. That's what I think I tune in for.
Yeah.
Like, I tune into your show, Bone Soda.
Yeah.
Nepchizzle. Who else? It's a bunch of people that
There's
I tune
a bunch
in
of
for.
People. Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch.
That's how I discover new music, and because they have the track listing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and, like, that's the best way, because it's, like, you're just getting into what they feel, because, like, we're all human, so we like different shit.
Yeah.
Like, certain days, different moods work. Other days you're not on that jump up and down, chilled, and like that's what it kind of represents in the show. Because before I'd either do half and half, like it'd be chilled, and I'd do a mix at the end,
yeah,
just to like knock out some new beats I made that week, like okay, just so I could play them,
yeah, you
know? And then like that'd be it, really,
yeah.
Mm.
What do you think of speaking of NTS and Boiler Room and stuff? Like, do you think that they've been like sort of the catalyst to like London's like you know, very vibrant creative culture in terms of music?
Because,
like, even when I think, like, coming from home, like...
Interesting question, actually. Like, I would say I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because I feel like most things, they're going on anyway. So, with NTS and Boiler Room, they're essentially their platforms to, like, you know, obviously showcase stuff. I think... Well, it's a bit of political, I think. The best way to say it.
Okay.
You know, because, like, you know, when you know people, you can't really go in, because I don't want people to feel like I'm going for their necks or anything at the same time. But, like, with NTS, I feel like it started as more of a tight-knit community of, like, you know, different people that obviously Femi had found and did whatever, and it built in terms of, like, the events and stuff were, like, very, what's the word, I guess... You know, they were just the programming and creation was very interesting, and like it was all about harnessing. Like, at the beginning, it was more about things you didn't know, Whereas like now, there would be a headliner.
Got you.
Whereas before, like, there probably wouldn't have been a headliner. Yeah. Say NTS, and then there'd be people that they've picked to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember quite early on, we had, like, room two of, like, Subtract did this night called Subtract Creates in, like, this massive warehouse.
Damn.
And we had, they called it room two, but, like, it's just as big, like, it was massive. The rig would scare you still. Mm. Like, it was, like, underneath this, literally near between London Bridge and Waterloo Station.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a lot of railway tracks that come in that way, like, so yeah. This arch is massive.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, like, one side of it is literally just the speaker rig. Like, the sound Shit. Was insane.
Fuck.
You know what I mean? And then, like, but again, no one who's there don't know no one on this NTS lineup.
Hmm.
Like, we didn't even really announce it or make a flyer, but, like, it was obviously on the wall
yeah.
to show people, like, this is what's happening over here.
Yeah.
So, like, shit like that used to happen, which was sick. You know yeah. what I mean? So then it's like me, a couple of other people from NTS that are just not known or whatever, but you get to shell it down on this mad sound system.
That's crazy. And that you doesn't know? Happen anymore?
Nah.
Oh, man.
Not so much. Not so much. Like, they'll get, and if it did, there'll be a headline. Like, you would know, like, say, for example, you use, like, Silver or whoever else, there'll be someone who's doing something
yeah
as the headliner
yeah
to get, you know what I mean, whereas before, you know, Boiler Room's kind of always been something that did get names anyway. That's kind of how that kind of works in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Subtract, Jamie XX, you know what I mean, whoever else has been on there from the like Flowing Points. You know what I mean,
yeah,
like the obvious, like yeah, you know yeah, yeah. you know stuff yeah. And they've had more obscure things as well, but like the obscure things, they've already got a community that follow them, they're just harnessing that to a wider
yeah,
so that's what the platform's used for yeah. I guess essentially, but yeah, a lot of things were already kind of going on, so I don't know if they're, I know NTS in the beginning, that's why I want to make the point, was harnessing newer things than that, but like now there's not really, I wouldn't say there's that much difference in terms of between the two, like how there used to be that distinction, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Word. So a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the control, or CKTRL, that's how yeah. I say it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Like, yeah. Where do you think yeah. that's going? Like, where are you pushing that? Like, what's the vision?
The vision? Well,
do you want like a massive fan base, or do you want like, you know, just loyal fans who are just like into it?
To be honest, just, like, I'm into all sorts, but primarily I just want to be able to just play, like, say for example, like I'm trying to think, like, me just ask the question as like honestly as possible. Is so my friend had a show, this could have been like 2 years ago, and we've got this, like, it's like an art space, like one of them, like, I suppose the equivalent would be somewhere like MoMA in New York or something. Yeah, you know, they have the PS1 in the yeah. in the courtyard.
Yeah.
And like, but it was just his show, him and some friends, right, at this place called the Serpentine. And I went there to support, and I was like, yeah, this is sick, like, they sold it out. I was like, yeah. But then I got there and like, it was just white fans. Like, it was ram, it just, there was no real, like, it was kind of like a Boiler Room crowd, like, they were just staring.
Yeah,
there was no real vibe. I was like, I don't want this, this is not it. And I feel like when music is new or interesting and different, like we were saying earlier, to kind of tie it all in terms of, like, you know, there's multifaceted ways to be of blackness and yeah. whatever, but you know, what tends to happen early on is that white people may celebrate it first when it's different, and then yeah. as it catches on, then people kind of come around. It's like, I'm not really into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really know, like, how I want the nights to look and feel
yeah.
and be. Like, that's why I used Wiley's example as the reference, because the right energy was there from the jump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was this new music that he made in his room, but people were shocking out like they knew it their whole
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. it's like, you need to be able to come out, people dancing and vibing, like how we go carnival to this new music. Because yeah. at the end of the day, like when that reggae came out, when that Soca dropped, you know what I'm saying, when that new Jungle track dropped, like that was a new invention at the time.
Yeah.
Black people got into it, so they can do it again.
Like, yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah.
So, like, so that's what I want first and foremost, to be honest. Like, you know, hip hop again, the youngest like child of all of that, again, done the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it can be done.
Yeah. You know? Word. I agree.
You know, it can be done. So I feel like that's what I see my fan base looking like. Mm. And also obviously with the label initially is like I'm putting out music from black women.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of the artists at the moment that are out, you know, they're either white girls singing R&B, or you know, you get mixed race girls singing R&B or whatever, and like, you know, people that are of, I don't like to say like light skin or whatever, I like to say like different melanation, but it's not of the darker
ethnic. Yeah.
You know I mean, it's not, that's not what's celebrated, but that's the culture that they're harnessing.
Mm.
And that's not necessarily what they grew up with either.
Yeah.
You know, but they're using that to sell this product,
You
know, that they're doing. So the point of it is to just obviously bring things back to the source and to show like, you know, where it comes from and where we're going and what, you know, they have to say as well. I think that's the most important thing, like off the bat. Like Songs for Girls is about right now with the releases that are coming, it's just about supporting black women, harnessing their energy and just supporting that truth, because a lot of that culture is used to sell these other people doing R&B at the moment, their record, their look, their whole swag, that's where they take it from. You know, we're just grassroots.
Word Thanks, bro. It's dope.
Thanks for having me.
This is dope.